The transition team from the side of the incoming government says it is ready to submit an interim report to the president-elect Nanado after finally receiving notes on the government machinery last Friday. The group said the interim report is to provide a fair idea of the state of the country before Nanado addresses the nation on the day of the inauguration. Spokesperson of the team, Kojo Ponkrumah, who addressed the media, said though there will not be any official meeting between the incumbent and incoming governments, there will still be consultations until the work of the transition team formally ends on the 20th of January 2017. A report by Irabna Power.
The working group of the MPP transition team has been tasked to look into details or the reports submitted by the various ministries, departments and agencies. Members will in turn brief the nine-member team headed by Yawusa Fumafo. This will help brief the president-elect on the true state of the country as he assumes the mantle of leadership. Spokesperson for the transition team is Kojo Opon Nkrumah.
Under this 18-member transition team, and to facilitate the work of the incoming administration, we have set up 10 working teams which are doing the work of breaking down the materials being received and helping us make sense of it, is to provide a reporting template with which the various working teams will provide an interim report for the benefit of the president-elect before inauguration day. He has requested for a formal interim report before his inauguration, so that by the time he's inaugurated, by the time he speaks to the country, at least he has an interim report of what, may I say, he's inheriting as the new president of the Republic of Ghana.
Mr. Ponkrumah also explained what the transition team of the incoming government has gathered in the notes submitted to them.
We have received all the handing over notes that we are expected to have received. There was only one outstanding set of notes that was on the Office of Government Machinery that was presented to us on Friday, just this past Friday. So all of the handing over notes have been received. They've been distributed to the working team, and the working teams have started the process of going through them and meeting with some of the ministries, departments, and agencies from the other side. If there are questions, areas of interest, things that we are looking for that we are not clear about, we invite the particular ministry or department or agency to provide the answers to the questions that they are looking for. If there's need for us to reconvene another transition team meeting, we will request for same and have that meeting to clear up whatever issues may be required to be cleared up.
He said the work of the transition team will officially end on 20th January, but the formal document will be presented to the new president on the 3rd of February 2017.
Irabna Power's report. Deputy Majority Leader in Parliament Alfred Agbesi has defended recommendations by the Presidential Committee on Emoluments to increase the salaries of Article 71 office holders by 10% and backdate it to 2013. The category of workers, including the President, Justice of the Supreme Court, Members of Parliament, Ministers of State, political appointees and some public servants, are to benefit from the 10% pay rise. Details of the report show that the president, who takes home a non-taxable salary of 15,972 cedis, has now been pegged at a new 2016 salary of 22,809 cedis. This translates into a 42.8% pay rise over the 4 years. The Chief Justice, head of the judiciary, is paid 15,552 cedis, but will now expect 17,107, while the Speaker of Parliament, who is paid 16,174 cedis, will now receive 17,791 cedis. Many have raised issues with the increases, especially at a time when the country is going through some economic challenges, which has led to some stringent measures, including the cancellation of allowances to teacher trainees. The Deputy Majority Leader, Alfred Kwame Agbesi, in an interview with Radio Ghana, says the increases are normal. Meanwhile, a labor expert, Ben Arthur, says on the face of economic challenges, one of the country's priorities is not a pay rise for Article 71 office holders.
What the people of Ghana are supposed to hear is that, how is this increase going to engender productivity. In the face of economic challenges, one of our priorities is not a pay rise for Article 71 office holders. And the kind of crisis that we have faced for the past 4 or 5 years, are we able to pay this rise? Whilst we were saying that it was virtually impossible to pay for allowances for nurses and students and what have you. It's very, very interesting to have heard that it is normal that we backdate salary increases, especially for Article 71 office holders, and that everything is justifiable. Again, it sounds as if there was not much scrutiny before approving it in Parliament. I don't think it's normal that way. How on earth would you allow a worker to work for almost 4 years and you will not be able to assess the person's performance, look at the economic condition of the person, look at the performance of the person, and then at the end of the 4 years, you just slap an increase of 10% and you backdate it to mean that whatever arrears that is left, whatever that remain unpaid, people who are going to go home must go and take it. What is the demand for the increase? These are core issues that must be answered. Another thing that we all need to cross-examine is that we have to begin to understand the basis for rewarding people or for compensating people who are government appointees as Article 71 office holders. Anything short of that explanation of what has gone into it as the ingredient, it will not be fair to us as Ghanaians. How come that public sector workers, some of them don't have their pay for a year or two, and when they wake up to go and assess their salaries, they are giving only 3 months of it? As we speak, people like your good self and workers of GBC have been agitating for a very long time for salary increment or better conditions of service, and you don't seem to get exactly what you want. How come that it's become so easy overnight that for almost 4 years running, people are going to take arrears? And who are the beneficiaries? The time has come for us to be open with salaries and considerations as to how we pay people.
You just had a labor expert, Ben